create even more disconnection.
Now, in your parents' day, what they would do for a hernia is they'd make a bicarbonate soda.
Mm-hmm.
Remember those?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, and guess what it did? It worked, because you know why?
Mm-mm.
It naturally adjusted that pH that you've been talking about over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
But the bicarbonate soda was different because it releases that bulge.
Mm-hmm.
The bulging in the wrong place.
Mm-hmm.
Very temporary, but if it gets you through the night, then you're good.
Mm-hmm.
Folks that have this chronically, they need to be very mindful of the degree of citrus.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't say folic acid, did I?
Never.
But citrus. People tangle them up a little bit. That's why they
can't eat it. No, they don't tangle up citrus and folic acid. Citrus is vitamin C and folic acid is a B vitamin.
Oh, but when they run them back, you mix them together and you get most of the processed dead juices that you have from sale on the market today.
Hmm.
They can drink orange juice.
Mm-hmm.
But if they drink the calcium enriched orange juice, they get kidney stones.
Mm.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're saying is that if you have this chronically,
yes,
Take very close attention to where you're getting your citrus and watch the folic acid.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because they're mixing all kinds of craziness and kind of everything. And sometimes you'll find that you've got to get rid of all citrus when it really and truly is the folic acid.
You mean the folic acid is causing them some problem?
Combined with the heavy, heavy acidity of the citrus.
Mm-hmm.
And that all started when everybody started getting in the vitamin rages, and then they had to invent ester C.
Well, I don't think ester C is much of anything except a marketing scam.
I absolutely agree, but that marketing scheme set folks into the roller coaster ride of the up and down of the Battle of the Bulge.
Okay.
If you start paralleling all this production and then the meme that's been established, that's why more and more and more and more and more and more people can catch a bulge of a hiatal hernia that can't be surgically worked on without doing open heart surgery.
Okay,
self-fulfilling prophecy is what we're trying to get.
Right, but is there something about putting folic acid and citrus together that causes gas?
Can. And they'll use anything for an excuse.
Uh-huh.
See, they'll blame it on Tums.
Mm-hmm.
Eating away at things.
Hmm.
I know. It's ice time. Hold on just a second.
Okay.
Then we realized that a lot of time had gone by. So, I'm sorry. We want to answer the question, but we got to clean it up just a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, what's the question?
I know, we look for a reason to have symptoms, but is there something about taking a whole bunch of synthetic vitamins that is causing people upset stomachs?
Yes.
Okay.
Because what they're missing is the natural, we keep wanting to say coagulants, but it's not really coagulants. It's the way, it's like the difference in fructose and sucrose.
Uh-huh.
You see? Neither one are really a problem.
Uh-huh.
You see? But then if you start matriculating and changing the complex sugars, then all of a sudden they take on a whole new proximity of satisfying and or causing distress. So the answer is yes. Anytime you can get sicker off overdosing in vitamins, then you can Not because the vitamins are bad, because it's like alcohol. If you drink enough, you'll go to sleep. Don't worry about it. You know? Keep drinking. You'll finally pass out. Well, the same thing is true with fruits and natural sugars. But when you start, if you start eliminating the way you get your nutrition, then all of a sudden you're replacing it with something. And if you have any disconnection at all regarding it, then that'll be looking for a reason. So it's not always that be the case, but when you start replacing food with supplements to such a degree that you're not sure how those supplements are processed, there's lots of combinations. Orange juice used to be when you squeezed oranges, but that's not where you get orange juice anymore. Now it must be the Minute Maid.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be processed and pasteurized and mixed with stuff and changed and frozen orange juice concentrate, where it can't even be from oranges. It's got to be some syrupy reduction which changes everything to the point that you can't even get good nutrition out of an orange juice because you're not squeezing the oranges, you see.
Okay, so...
It's like the McDonald's hamburger. The only reason the McDonald's hamburger is so popular is because anywhere you go in the country, they're always the same. Same way with orange juice. They take the entire orange juice crop and mix them all together, so they always taste the same.
Wow.
But if you go buy a bag of oranges this week and next week and the next week, they're going to be different. They're going to taste different.
Mm-hmm.
The water's going to be different. The sugars are going to be different. The ripeness is going to be different. So the difference, viva la différence, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Because with all this being the same, there's a great deal that you're forfeiting as far as freshness to make it always be the same.
Mm-hmm.
A la the McDonald's hamburger, always the same. That's what people like.
So let's get back. Let me get clear here. I think the point you started to make was, so replacing food with supplements, and then that starts the process of disconnection from food, and then the wondering.
The natural way to get nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with supplements. Nothing wrong with taking all that. But when that becomes the reason that you have to have them to survive because
yeah.
you don't get nutrition,
see,
you cannot usurp your own rules.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
And then does that set up an indigestion, or where does the actual symptom?
Any change. And set that up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For example, we have weaned JW off his vitamin supplements.
Mm-hmm.
He's now not taking them for a month, and he believed in those.
Uh-huh.
And he's just weaned, and we've weaned him completely off of them, and he's living long, thriving, and prospering.
Uh-huh.
We did it gradually. Well, not because they were good or bad. They're very wonderful. Even if they were manure, he was blessing them, and they were serving him well.
Mm-hmm.
But then the replacement gradually, easy, so you don't do drastic anything. Do it over time, slowly. Then it became a very easy way. Well, that was no attention required.
Mm-hmm.
He still buys them. He has a closet full of them. He just hasn't been into taking them.
And, I mean, is there any reason why he should or shouldn't take them? He could just as easily take them.
He very easily could. But that became then, if he didn't take them, then it would have an effect on how he feels.
Uh-huh.
And the feeling place is what he was addressing.
Mm-hmm.
Because the feeling place is now, next thing you know, that could just as easily be dilaudid.
Uh-huh.
Right?
I don't know, I guess so.
Well, take Dilaudid enough, and you take Dilaudid and you feel good. When you quit, you'll have an opiate withdrawal.
Right.
See? So, same thing, same song, different verse.
Hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
The replay will clean that up a little bit, because I kind of got there. But it was a little stretch.
Yeah, I see a lot of people having these symptoms, and it is a disconnection with how they know food should be and should be eaten.
And the choice that is provided, now think about this now, you're going to blame somebody with this? No. Because guess what? You'd stop buying a pina colada flavored Jell-O, and they'll stop making it so fast you'll never knew it was ever produced.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You stop buying some kind of crazy processed, pasteurized, from concentrate orange juice, something, aren't they the best thing going, but nobody likes the taste of it, you will never know it ever existed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's how it fits into the place of the marketing team.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's all easy. Old timey is best. Feels right, simply, and it doesn't break your rules, then it's perfectly fine. Because we've been eating dirt and manure for many years and doing well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we're on to hyperactivity and ADHD.
All right. Well, first of all, that's not a disconnection. Not a disconnection. The disconnection's from people who prescribe it. Here's the problem. You start gnashing, you have a sebaceous cyst, and you don't pop it. You push it back inside. Don't you worry, honey. It'll squirt out somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
It's the new ones coming from source who are not, you are not going to be the boss of me.
Oh, yeah.
And you need to know that, and you need to understand that, that you
uh-huh.
are not going to be the boss of me.
Uh-huh.
And if that means that you have to drug me out with Ritalin, well, they don't use that anymore. They have to hit you with a low dose of Prozac. Well, wait, they don't do that anymore. Oh, wait, 0.25 of Xanax. Oh, wait, those are kind of addictive. Uh-oh, now there's problems. Now there's big trouble in River City. But the short version of that is trying to make them comply, and they will no longer comply.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's grown into a whole new realm of the larger disconnection, because it used to just be they were slow,
mm-hmm.
or it used to just be that they couldn't keep their attention, or they were a left brain or a right brain, or they were a puce child or an indigo child, and they were only focused on certain things, and on and on and on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
But it's only those little ones coming forth that are going to make their own space, whether you like it or not. So the child never has the disconnection, ever. It's always the environ that is pressing the herniation.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, is that clear enough?
Yeah, there's an example of an 8-year-old that's, she and her mother are staying with Barbara Ann right now, and she's, actually she says this phrase, you're not the boss of me, and won't listen to anything, and of course everybody thinks it's because, you know, the mother or the father of the child and the mother of the child, they aren't married and they're kind of sharing the child, and they're not, you know, the supposedly the little girl doesn't like that and she's rebelling against all that. So
no, she came from source.
Yeah.
Better than they did. So she has no disconnection and she's got it right. But they'll put her in detention or in what to call reform school. Do they still have those anymore? For a little reformation to dumb them back down into the process, the only one that complies. Because remember, genius would be a psychiatric anomaly, would it not?
So, but with a kid who's, you know, just whatever, seemingly disconnected, I mean, how does a mother deal with that?
Easily. Support it.
Uh-huh.
You're absolutely right. We're not the boss of you.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Mom, now I want so-and-so. No, no, I'm not the boss of you. Well, no, I want, I'm not your creator. Wait, I'm not I'm not your maid.
So the mother is saying to the daughter the same thing?
No. If the mother would say the same thing,
yeah,
then all of a sudden compliance would be the path, the fastest path to that child's joy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, you promised that you'd take me to the zoo. Well, I'm not your chauffeur. I'm not the boss of you.
Uh-huh.
Work it out for yourself.
Uh-huh.
Well, okay, I'm just going to the zoo because you're not the boss of me. I need $20. I'm sorry, I'm not your banker.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm not the boss of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you're the marvelous creator. You work it out. And once you, now that's just crass and forward. But
mm-hmm.
it's not, because we're making the point.
Yeah.
If you bring them back into the place of appreciation, they will wrap themselves back into a state of love. And in that state of love, then they won't have to rebel against anything. Then if you can love them where they are, as they are, and they don't have regression, that's a big catchword too.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have regression regarding their childhood, then they don't have to forget things. Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
You can have progression without regression.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And as they start pulling back, the only reason they pull back is because they get disconnected from their, what they know is right. A little baby, when he's hungry, he's going to cry.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't giggle himself to a breast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But once he gets the breast, then guess what? Mm-hmm. If he's eating, he ain't got room to cry.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And that has nothing to do with the colostrum, the beginnings. That has to do with the normal creature comforts of I'm hot, I'm cold, I'm happy, I'm sad, I'm wet, I'm poopy, I'm good. And so that whole process, they make such a big deal out of all of it. And if they did the same thing with what you call some of your geniuses.
Uh-huh.
Little fellas have palates that only require certain foods. You have to develop that. You can't start a newborn out on kimchi.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite a shock to the system.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have little babies or like the different countries that really believe and enjoy those spicinesses of their dishes and foods.
Mm-hmm.
Then guess what? Those little ones can eat Scotch bonnet peppers just like regular bell pepper.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes very normal, you see.
Right.
So that's that whole thing. Embrace it. Stop pushing against it, and you won't have the disconnection that you find your children strung out on Prozac.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe anti-depressants.
Mm-hmm.
No, wait a minute. Oh. Not antidepressants.
Yes.
You see, you got an extra set of things going on there, and that's because the double negative brings you back into it's not their problem, it's your perception of their reality that you are having a disconnection regarding.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's perfect words.
Good. Okay. Moving on to hypertension.
Hey, it must be the salt. That's what it is. It's salt. Oh, wait. You got to have salt to live. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. Houston, we have a problem.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wait. Then you go blind if you don't have iodized salt, remember?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. But then you get so much iodine that it makes you have thyroid trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh. Damn. How do we get this? Everything we do, we have to have that. We got to have too much of that. We have a different place of balance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hypertension comes in a typically the systolic is high.
Yeah.
Typically. But it's much more dangerous if the diastolic is high, is
mm-hmm.
it not?
Correct.
The constant lows, if they're elevated to a degree, that becomes a whole new conundrum.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So much so that if the diastolic got higher than the systolic, oh wait, then it would be the systolic.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But why couldn't that be upside down? Well, you see, it can. So now you don't have a perfect blood pressure. You only have average blood pressure.
Yes.
You see? Now, they will tell you how JW deals with this and has forever. He visualizes what his pressures are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was when he weighed 280 pounds and when he weighed 170 pounds.
Mm.
The same. Okay? He does not eat food that is not seasoned.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He doesn't. He will not. He doesn't choose things. Most things actually have to be kind of super enhanced. And he doesn't just sit and lick blocks of salt either. But he uses kosher salt. He uses probably a box to a box and a half a year
uh-huh.
for the whole family.
Uh-huh.
Which, is that a lot of salt or not? Who knows? I mean, you know. But then you start making another dish, and anything you pick up from your hoisin sauce to oyster sauce to,
mm-hmm.
to sambal to hot sauce, everything else is full of salt as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, even your salt is salted.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't really keep up with that whole track. So what you can do is balance the part that brings out the moisture of food, which is very interesting. If you're going to chop garlic, you've got to make it a really fine paste. If you put just a little sprinkle of salt on it, kosher preferably, it'll pull the fluids out of it. You can chop it up so fine that it becomes almost like a paste.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just regular chopping. But without that, it's still, you got great big clumps of garlic that you're trying to get out. Salt is a very wonderful thing, like in cabbage, of pulling those moistures out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the same thing is true with what you call your hypertension. It pulls the fluids out of it, which then make you retain those fluids, which then has that more room, less room, more pressure. Less room, more pressure.
I need some clarification on that last round.
Salt, if you make cabbage or slaw,
mm-hmm.
and you wash your cabbage has a ton of fluid in it.
Mm-hmm.
If you'll salt the cabbage and let it soak and then rinse it well, it will pull the water out of the cabbage, so when you put the dressing on the slaw, it won't be sloppy, runny, watery.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. Salt has the same effect in the body system. It will pull the fluid out. Well, when it pulls the fluid out, it doesn't pull it out of you like a diuretic. It just holds the fluid where that is. Therefore, you have extra fluid. Therefore, you have a more pressure around the arterial and ventricle system, which increases those pressures.
Mm-hmm.
Blood pressure, hypertension, elevated blood pressure. And that'll show up in your systolic being running a hair high.
Salt, we absolutely need salt in our, or sodium in the body, so.
Yes.
You're talking about too much salt.
Well, there isn't, but well, that was our point, though. There's no such thing as too much salt. The trick of it is if you were to try to control your salt, every single thing that you pick up got salt in it.
Mm-hmm.
So how can you get less salt? This is the most funny thing that we can ever imagine. They have for sale in your marketplace now low sodium soy sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what it is? Isn't soy sauce the Chinese way of adding salt?
Yeah, soy is salt. Absolutely.
So now we're gonna have a low salt.
Yeah.
So what you do is you buy the low salt and you use twice as much.
Yes.
Well, now it's just regular salt.
Yeah.
Well, everything that you're picking up has degrees of salt or sodium in it, so you don't even know how much salt that
mm-hmm.
you're getting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but no, I don't. Let's not do more examples. I really have to get to the point of understanding.
Okay.
Just in the fluid balance of the body, there's sodium and chloride channels and all that's going on. It's all very necessary.
Balancing the potassium.
And magnesium and all the electrolytes. So that's all going on. And what we're saying is added salt to the body can be a problem.
Added salt to the body does what salt does when you add it to anything.
Mm-hmm.
It extracts fluid.
Yeah.
Now, if you do it with sodium in your body, it also extracts fluid or will make you retain fluid.
Uh-huh.
Because the fluid that it's extracting because of your electrolyte balance makes the fluid stay in your arms, in your legs, in your tissue, the tissue, the fat tissues, your beingness. Not like drinking just water, which flushes your system and you go and urinate.
But is it the type of salt? I mean, people who use rock salt.
No.
Did that happen to them too?
Mm.
Or sea salt compared to the iodized fake salt?
Well, it's not fake salt, but it's the processed salt.
Mm.
We are really big believers in just old-timey kosher salt.
Right.
Because the kosher salt is not as salty.
Mm-hmm.
And if you use a little of it here and there, you're likely it'll get it salty without over-salting it.
Right. So is it the processed salt that's gotten people into trouble?
The intention of the processed salt. And the everything being added. Do you understand that they used to eat tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of salt?
Yeah. I mean, they salted all their foods. That was preservative.
Yes. Like tomatoes, you'd do up your tomatoes, and then you'd put a full tablespoon of regular salt in the top of that quart of tomatoes just to preserve them.
Right. So you said it's the intention of the processed salt. So can you go into that a little bit?
Yes. Well, the example that we were just to the place of giving, was J.W.'s blood pressure when he was 280 pounds or when he was 170 pounds is always the same.
Yeah.
Anytime before he allows anybody to take his pressure of blood, and he's done this since he was, I guess, in high school, was that he always saw his blood pressure at 120 over 80.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when he was heavier or lesser or whatever, he always gave that as his intention. And he would never allow them to check it unless he was perfectly aligned with it being 120 over 80.
Mm-hmm.
He would even tell them before they ever started what his blood pressure would be.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't always 120 over 80. He would start and think and say, how are you feeling, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to get your vital signs, blah, blah, blah. You know how the trail of
spiel
ends.
Yes.
And, well, I'm just wonderful. And by the way, today my blood pressure is 110 over 70. And they would look at you like, you know, did you have the speedometer in your car or something?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And then check it, and it would be just that.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes he'd go, okay, it's 128 over 82 or something. And guess what? About 9 times out of 10, that would be what it would be.
Mm-hmm.
It was very interesting. Now, yes, after you eat, remember, your blood pressures are a little elevated.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? You've ingested food. You've taken up space in the function, and then that increases that pressure. And that's that thing with salt in the fluid system, you see.
Mm-hmm.
But people who live in the desert don't have trouble with sodium intake. You see? Because the fluid, that they eat a lot of salt, by the way. I mean, a lot of salt.
Oh, yeah, because they sweat it out so much.
They do. They have to, but they sweat it out because the salt draws the fluid out, and their vascular system is its only main way of cooling. So that's how that shows up. Bodybuilders, athletes, they'll drink Gatorade, salted water, and that's the short version.
Yeah.
To add that salt, the sodium, back into your system, because if you're running a really if the difference between a Toyota and a Maserati is that the Maserati runs at a fuller, it burns more energy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a performance thing rather than a Toyota that'll get you 700,000 miles. That's a good fun parallel, but the intention of that process is the biggest player of your pressures. Because, see, pressure isn't bad, is it?
No, you need that pressure to move that blood around.
Because if you didn't, then you'd really have a hemorrhoid that you'd never recover from.
Mm-hmm.
Pressure is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, there's a lot of talk, at least people are starting to understand, about the white coat syndrome of hypertension, that it'll be high when they go to the doctor if they don't align themselves with it being not high.
Why would they go to the doctor if they were feeling good?
Yes.
Well, no, we're asking.
Yeah.
They should turn this all the way around. And if you're sick, you go to this kind of doctor. And if you're well, you go to this kind of doctor.
Mm-hmm.
But if you went to the well doctor, then why would you go to the sick doctor? Now, think about that.
Oh, I know. That's why people came to see me, because they felt better when they saw me rather than feeling worse.
Yeah. And now I'll give you another example, because if you were dealing with dentistry, why don't dentists do their hygiene work?
I don't know.
Well, because the doctor, the dentist, does the drill, fill, and bill. The hygienist cleans the teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not looking for problems, then they don't find them.
Mm.
Oh, but the dentist has to come and check to make sure.
Mm-hmm.
But their exclusive remedy is what the hygienist's opinion is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, wait a minute. If you're going to go to the dentist, why wouldn't the dentist be the one doing the hygiene?
Mm.
So that he could tell immediately what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Those are separated.
Yeah, very interesting.
And they do that a purpose, so you have that they're not having to do the silly work. Well, we all know well, if you go to the hygienist regularly and don't have any disconnection regarding it, you don't have any cavities and you don't have need of a dentist anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Very good.
So that's another way of some hospitals have taken on this wellness clinics with great success. And then when your HMOs caught on, they found out that they were getting paid for you not to be sick. Wait a minute, that's not what Canada does. Those doctors make more money if their people are healthy than if they're sick.
Mm-hmm.
So their goal is to get you happy.
Yeah, I wish more people were doing that, or more clinics.
Well, because there's no disconnection regarding it. And they're not going to go give you, they're not going to do an exploratory open heart surgery if there wasn't a reason to do that, you see. Right?
I don't know about that.
Well, but you don't go, I've got an extra pig artery here, so somebody needs surgery, so let's give a surgery because we have the extra pig valve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, no, it's pretty close to that. But anyway.
Well, I understand. That's why we use that as an example.
Mm-hmm.
But did that give the disconnection regarding the pressures?
Well, yeah, it's an intent. Yeah, it's the intention. So, yeah, I can.
See, the intention is judged by the intention is judged by the great physician.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
some people, do you understand, once you have a stent, then you naturally have a little elevated blood pressure.
And you have antibiotics in the stent that create this constant imbalance.
And if you have a pretty major surgery, then a dentist won't touch you unless you have a round of antibiotics if they're going to be working in your mouth, because you may cause another problem.
Right, right.
That has to do with those pressures as well. When they start fiddling with the pump, sometimes that causes an extra layer of disconnection, you see.
Another layer of disconnection. Now, because I don't know what direction you were going in when you started with, the intention is judged by the great physician. The intention is judged by the great physician. What point were you making there?
That it's which doctor you go to that's going to put you on blood pressure medicine if your blood pressure is 145 over 100. 146 over 100.
Right. And yes, got it.
And others would look at that and go, well, that may be just a little bit high. You know, did you climb a flight of steps? Are you hungry? Did you eat? Are you feeling well?
Yeah.
You know, has that bursitis? And then these other things that go along, you end up with an increased blood pressure, just like a fever. You're trying to kill something viral.
Mm-hmm.
You see, which is a 101 degree fever is a good thing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Rather than immediately putting you on the Lipitor, because the cholesterol is causing plaque, which is causing you to have high triglycerides, which have nothing to do with it, which is making your HDL low, which is causing your increased blood pressure, and you just got to lay off the fat and the salted fat, okay, or they put them on salted fat, they'd get all they need and they wouldn't crave salt and they wouldn't have all these other issues and problems.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, they ate pig salted meat 3 times a day and had to serve sweets with it because it was so salty they couldn't stand it. It tasted fine.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that.
I know.
Because in the foul shape that we're in now, we'd have never evolved into this place. The generations would have ceased in the 40s if it was as bad as they made it out to be.
I know, and it's like all the things that they're doing to seemingly make it better seem to be doing the opposite.
Well, exactly, because now people aren't having it.
Mm-hmm.
They're not having it. They have attention deficit disorder. Put them on Ritalin or Prozac.
Because
they're not having it. And, you know, I don't know how many jails they're going to build or coffins they're going to make, but they're not having it. And so, they're still thriving.
So why are they not? No, you
wrong
lost
question.
Me there.
Wrong question.
Now, people aren't having it. What people aren't having what? Are they the connected ones or the disconnected ones?
Either. They all have non-physical wisdom, and they all are the creators.
Uh-huh.
They're coming in the place where, doctor, I may live and I may die, but you, rusty son of a bitch, I'm not taking your goddamn medicine one more minute.
Mm-hmm.
Because that medicine makes me feel worse than if I was dead.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't care about you or the horse you rode up on or the Mayo Clinic that gave you your sheepskin that said you were a fine physician. For me and my house, I ain't doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And if I live, I live. But then if I die, I die, because you say I'm going to die anyway. So now we're talking about the degrees of participation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So once you come into that place, when you see all these medications that are supposed to fix things that make you feel like you wish you were dead, isn't it amazing that the antidepressants, be very careful if you have an increased thoughts of suicide. See your doctor immediately. Why, in the name of a sovereign God, would you take a medicine that has a side effect of suicide if you're suicidal anyway? And that place of knowingness comes into a place very quickly where you realize every drug they come out with that makes you dance like a kid again is soon going to be followed with sudden death and lawsuits and lawyers and all that foolishness. Then you finally just leave them all alone.
Yeah.
But they don't start a list. They try them on every human on the planet, and nobody has trouble. But then with the disconnection with those processes and how they're prescribing these drugs like rock candy, then it comes into a place where the disconnection comes to where this is now no longer appropriate for me.
Mm-hmm.
And bam, and I will sue you.
Now, I know you've gone over this many times about how a drug comes in and then someone decides it's too old, or, I mean, isn't it the symptoms of the side effects of the drugs that begin making everyone think there's a disconnection or trying to disconnect from it?
No, it's backward from that. It's backward from that. Okay. Penicillin is not the best drug in the whole wide world.
Right.
Okay? It's just not. It's just doxycycline is not the end-all to end-alls.
Right.
Pretty good, but it's not the end-all to end-all. Why has anybody not sued the makers of penicillin?
I don't know.
Because in its beginning stages, it was never given as this is going to solve all your trouble.
Mm-hmm.
This is a moldy something that's going to get resistance, that's going to move this nastiness out of your system.
Mm-hmm.
Not this is going to cure it all. Not you're not going to dance like a kid again. Take the purple pill so you can eat like a kid again. Do this and do this so now you can have an erection, but be careful if it lasts 4 hours because privacy is not the most comfortable thing. And then wait, and they go, wait. So you're saying now I'm supposed to take the pill to have an erection that's not supposed to last? I'm confused.
Mm-hmm.
You see? I mean, and at what stage at 112 are you worried about erectile dysfunction anyway?
Mm-hmm. So it's the hype and the propaganda that have come along with it that we're talking about.
That's exactly correct. Whereas most of the original compounding was done, lots of it was with an alcohol base, and the alcohol base is what actually lets you get enough rest so your body can naturally repair itself anyway.
Right.
You see? And that's the whole thing. This isn't gonna cure you, but it's gonna make you feel better. Okay?
Mm.
And it did. And then once you felt better, then you were cured. Isn't it amazing?
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's all in the aspiration of the claim. They never had had side effects
mm-hmm.
on drugs.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So therefore they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
But you instill this creation of this thunk thought that this is really, really great medicine. And it's going to let you can have sex till you're 100. You can do it without genitalia. It's the most wonderful thing going. But now it may cause your liver to fail.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm, you know, okay. It's like the fella who sold his soul to the devil, and they asked him, why did you do that? He said, well, I wasn't using it.
Mm-hmm.
I sold it to the devil. I wasn't using it. It was all right with me.
Mm-hmm.
See, so now when you paint that picture, it makes a whole other light of it. But we're doing it tongue-in-cheek on purpose because it's all this dynamic, you see. Next, you'll be signing a waiver for this disconnected doctor to repair your disconnected body, who's so disconnected because he only sees the worst of the worst,
mm-hmm.
and then wonder why you aren't living long, thriving, and prospering.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yet, the centenarian drive is on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see. Oh, it kind of gets to be fun. Did that give enough of that?
Yes, it's very good. Yeah, it's, you know, getting, as we move through this, getting the, you know, the gist and the generalization and the, because you've said that many times about that disconnection, but I've, you know, I finally got it, or asked the question about the hype and propaganda,
mm-hmm.
and there it was.
Mm-hmm. And time and time and time and time again. And it gets so confusing, Callum, because you're marvelous creators and you're not stupid. You get it.
Mm-hmm.
You see? now, red wine is good. Oh, no, it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if red wine was bad, nobody would live long enough to know that it was bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay? Okay, alcohol's bad. Oxygen's bad. Yeah, poison air. Oh, wait, water's bad. Oh, wait, we can't have it in a container. Oh, wait, we have to have it in this kind of container. Oh, we can't offer to clean that container for contaminants.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, now the bottle of water that sits in the car, it now leaches into it, so now you're poisoned by the plastic. Okay, and then it goes on and on and on and on and on. So finally people just kind of say, well, you know, eat right, live right, do right, and die anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then all of a sudden you come to the resolute position that there is no death, and now all of a sudden it's like, well, where's the joy in this process?
Mm-hmm.
If somebody takes sewage, processes it, puts it in a bucket, and when I have a thirst, or if I've got a big glass of scotch and want a splash of water, I don't really care where the water comes from. Because I'm not only going to bless the scotch, I'm going to bless the ice and the water, to where even if it was strychnine laced and came out of an arsenic factory, it will not have any negative regard to me. And once you come to that place, then all of a sudden, your cares of life grow strangely dim, because now two-thirds of your existence is not spent on what's the effect of this on me.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And anything that comes along that makes you have that regard, you're not going to fool with anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You see? I'm appalled, Carolyn. The beluga has just got mercury in it.
Well, right.
Well, if you believe that, you'd leave caviar alone.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Or if that's going to be your excuse, then okay, good. But until anybody found out that it was a problem, it wasn't a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, wait a minute. Until they figured out it was a problem, then it wasn't a problem. So if they didn't find out it was a problem, that means that it wouldn't be.
Apparently.
Carbon monoxide, poison. That's from the giving off when you have combustion in your home. How do people used to heat their house? They chopped up wood and threw it in the fireplace and burned it up. They cooked food on stoves with flues that were all stopped up.
Mm-hmm.
And there was more carbon monoxide probably than there was carbon dioxide.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, everything was just fine.
Mm-hmm.
And now you got to have radon and checkers for carbon dioxide and every other gas that's supposed to take you out. Well, it just doesn't make sense. And anything you come along with that's going to kill you, well, it will.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only instance where there is a death, is when that is your creation.
Mm-hmm.
They're dead. They're just looking for disease to claim the body.
No.
And that's the generalized version. I'm sorry. You don't start us on a tirade. What's your next one? If we're done with that one.
Yeah, we're done. And actually, I just wanted to do the hour, and we're past that. I can't believe it's already 10 to 8.
Get out. What time flies?
I know. It's your 10 to 2.
There you go. Well, that's just all good. It's been very interesting. He's not been asleep last night. He was up until 6:30.
Oh.
Just wide
open.
It's very strange. It's fun, but it's very strange. And we've been in this flow.
Uh-huh.
It's been very interesting. Very interesting, because it becomes more seamless.
Yes.
And that's some of the things that you've been feeling as well from the whole processing of it.
Yeah.
What do you want to do with this work?
Well, what's interesting is doing, bringing the non-physical closer into the physical, having people have access to the information.
Have you put us in a box that we don't fit in yet?
Put you in a box. Explain.
Have you asked us questions from your techno field that we have not addressed yet?
I don't think so. I mean, some of the things we talk about, you know, in the medicine for ion, I'm still getting used to the whole generalization or theory. Like a couple times, today you said, "Well, we don't believe in homeopathy. Oh, we don't believe in fiber." And it's like, okay, I'll file that away, and we'll get to that. But you know, and
meaning that you'll die if you don't have enough of something. You see. When that's just not necessarily the case. And then homeopathy is fabulous and wonderful, and we wouldn't push against it. But when you have that as a belief system, if you have a lack of homeopathy, then you're doomed.
Yeah, but, I mean, the way seemingly homeopathy works is it's a medicine that gives people something in a low potency that doesn't have any harm to it.
But then it's no good, because your meme that's been created is you got to have the maximum daily dose, meaning how much acetaminophen will it take to kill me, and then back it off just a little bit.
Yeah.
That's the maximum daily dose. So you got people taking ibuprofen at 1,600 milligrams when they have a sore arm.
So I guess, though, what I will always say that I want to be able to give people access to some of the safer physical things until they get to a place where they can just relax and allow and align themselves with perfect health.
Well, exactly. And the only way we know to do that consistently is to objectively or abjectively provide an option of the fastest path to their joy, not the fastest path to your prescription pad. Because if you can come to that, you can become a sugar pill pusher and heal the world.
Right. So having them get access to the fastest path of their joy.
Their joy, not your joy. Their joy.
Well, it's got nothing to do with my joy.
Oh, but now you take your normal, you take your MD world, and the hospitals that don't have the sick patients, their capitalization to pay for these MRIs and these open MRIs and these pussycat scanners and these on and on and whole body scans, and good Lord have mercy, pick something. If they don't have the folks to have those, need of those tests and those machineries, then they've got the empty beds, and that doesn't work in the hospital administrator's world.
No, I know. It's a total business. Some of us want to work ourselves out of a job by getting people to take care of their own selves. But anyway, that's where when you say you don't believe in homeopathy, I understand your overview, but at the same time, I'll go with homeopathy way faster than any drugs if it gives people something that they can physically take to motivate their fastest path to their joy.
And if it's done from that dynamic, wonderful, but the homeopathy that you see today is not that homeopathy. The homeopathy that you see today is the one that has to eliminate. They start you off and you're allergic to gluten. That's number one. And you're allergic to wheat. And you can't have this and you can't have that. And cornstarch will kill you. And you've got to eliminate every possibility so that you're so confused within your system that you don't know what it was that was really a precursor for your lesser degree of alignment.
Right.
So if you look at that, if the homeopathy, as you call it, or a homeopath.
Well, it's more naturopathy that you're talking about. homeopathy is a whole different system of using the minimum dose of something, but you're talking about naturopathy and where we start with, you know, diet and detox and all that stuff. But yeah, you know, and part of that has some reality in terms of just the way people are just eating processed everything these days, and nothing is old-timey at all.
Right. That's why we have such great fun poking at what you call organic. It's just the funniest thing in the whole world.
Yeah, it's like they create this incredible total synthetic world, and then, oh, by the way, you can make it organic and everything will be fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As long as it's got the sticker, that's all it really, that's the only thing that's required.
Mm-hmm.
It's all fun. So I'm saying, great, eat stickers and skip the other part and then you're good.
Mm-hmm.
No, we're playing, but it's fun. That's fun. But now we asked the question about this process of evolving.
Uh-huh.
We're intrigued with this whole thing because if you notice, most all the answers are pretty much the answers are the same, but mm-hmm. yet they go to much more in-depth dynamics
mm-hmm.
that might make folks see things a little different way.
Mm-hmm.
They could see things a little different way, or maybe an opener mind, a more open mind.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, some of the old things, the old school, becomes into a place where it can work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you told somebody that they had suffered from just dangerous constipation, if your doctor prescribed answer, or especially our non-physical side, said, eat. And you go, well, I can't eat because I'm constipated. Well, fine, eat. And you will go.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did we say that was the most fun way to do it? No, but when you go, you'll have such appreciation for going that it will absolutely make you think about it as you go. And that appreciation can do much more as far as aligning the system of natural digestion.
You kind of lost me there.
You're constipated. Don't take a laxative. Eat.
Yeah, okay. You've gone over that before. Okay. Yeah. But then the appreciation, what? How do you mean?
If you get enough pressure or what you call discomfort
mm-hmm.
from being constipated, and you continually eat to the point where you think you're going to die because it's not working and you're still eating and it's not working and
yeah.
you're still eating. When you finally do have a stool, you will have a new, refined appreciation for the process of eliminating food through your system. And that's the same process, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it becomes natural, that's natural way of rising or raising degrees or levels of appreciation of how your body can naturally adjust itself.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's just like, you know, just like, hey, high blood pressure is better than no pressure at all.
Oh, yeah.
You got no pressure, there's nothing to talk about anymore.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what your heart rate is, if you ain't got any, if you got no diastolic pressure, you ain't got nothing.
Damn.
Fun, isn't it? So it's all good. Well, that's wonderful, wonderful. So we'll continue and play.
Yeah.
You're down to the what now? What's our next one?
Oh, let me go back. Air medicine with Thion to here is hypoglycemia is next.
Wonderful. Hypo and hyper. No, we already did hyper.
We did. So, and I think I'm going to go and eat something and make my head work a little better.
There you go. Well, very, very wonderful.
Okay.
Well, great. And we will, if you'd like, we'll play today again.
Yes, of course. Yeah, I'm getting my book off this. So I have to work on my website course too, but yeah, things are easing up just a little bit.
Well, how very wonderful. We are delighted.
Okay.
We love you more than you'll ever know, and we are complete.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Uh-huh.